broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for June 16th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Without further ado, Ellen Stahl's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right, Eldon Stahl, ladies and gentlemen, John Birch Society, thenewamerican.com, jbs.org. We've also got Dinesh D'Souza with us. He's the creator, the filmmaker for 2,000 Mules. It exposes widespread coordinated vote fraud that, ladies and gentlemen, would change the overall outcome. Welcome to the broadcast, Dinesh.
Hey, thank you very much.
There's so much to discuss, so little time. Many of us have seen the movie. Many more are trying to. SalemNow.com, if you want to watch the movie, that's the place to do it. Basically, $15 to rent, $20 to buy the digital copy within their system. That's SalemNow.com. Now, Dinesh, I know that there's a lot of criticism for making the movie, but I want to get to one chief criticism that just shocks me after this, because it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And that is Bill Barr, Trump's, quote, former, what do you want to call him? Former attorney general, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this guy was with Trump. He basically denied vote fraud right on the spot, never looked at it in the beginning. But he soft-pedaled it as he tried to kind of defend Trump and walk a weird, strange line. But he wasn't so bold. Now he's seen 2,000 Mules. And he basically went ballistic to a great degree. I don't really understand that. What do I mean by ballistic? Well, he flat out went in quadruple deny mode. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand how that can be. It doesn't make any sense to me how he could behave that way. And we'll get into exactly why with Dinesh in just a second. Here's the clip.
The election was not stolen by fraud. And I haven't seen anything since the election that changes my mind on that, including the 2,000 Mules movie.
Well, maybe you can assess that 2,000 Mules, and people are talking about that.
Well, I mean, just in a nutshell, you know, I just think the GBI was unimpressed with it, and I was similarly unimpressed with it, because I think I was holding my fire on that to see what the photographic evidence was, because I thought, well, hell, if they have a lot of photographs of the same person dumping a lot of ballots in different boxes, you know, that's hard to explain. So I wanted to see what the photographic evidence was. But the cell phone data is singularly unimpressive. I mean,
all right, I want to just stop there, because he goes on. He basically mocks it. He laughs. And then he says, yeah, if there was actual photo evidence, that would be a problem. Dinesh, in the movie there is, did he watch the whole thing?
You know, I'm not sure if he watched it at all, because he keeps referring to photographs, and there are no photographs in the movie. I mean, there's surveillance video that is from the states themselves, and 4 million minutes of it in the possession of True the Vote, and a lot of it in the movie, lots of evidence of mules stuffing ballots, and the geo-tracking shows that these mules are going to multiple locations to do this. Now, there aren't video cameras at all the locations. In fact, there are video cameras at very few. So when you see the mule doing it, you're not going to be able to see the mule at all the locations, for the simple reason that many of the states did not install surveillance cameras. It's kind of like saying a serial killer went to 5 homes and killed people, and his DNA shows that he was there at all those places, but there was only one home that had video, and sure enough, you look on the video and there he is. And so you've established your case. Now, when it comes to the geo-tracking, the weird thing is that Barr's point is this. He says, look, in a big city, you're going to have a lot of people milling around, tens of thousands of people. And they're obviously going to go by every location. They're going to go by drop boxes, for example. And so he basically says that geo-tracking cannot work in pinpointing mules and placing them at drop boxes. And this, I think, is really an astonishing thing to say. Because it's kind of like saying this. It's like saying, listen, there are tens of thousands of people in Washington, D.C. They're going by the Capitol, in and around the Capitol. They're passing alongside the Capitol all the time. And therefore, the FBI cannot geo-track January 6th protesters who were at the Capitol, outside the door, and say that they were 6 feet outside the door or 6 feet inside the door. This is exactly what the FBI is saying, and it's what it's in the charging documents. It comes up in trial. So geo-tracking is being used to pinpoint people in January 6th, and yet somehow magically it becomes invalid when it's being used to pinpoint ballot traffickers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it makes no sense. If you don't believe me how capable the technology is, just try to use the Find Your Phone thing or Find Your Earbuds or whatever else. Look, my children have looked for their earbuds that they've lost, and it shows their earbuds are in a field. We know exactly where they are, and they go out and find them. Don't tell me this technology doesn't work. He doesn't have a clue what he's talking about, Dinesh.
No, I mean, look, the CDC has been using geo-tracking to see if people are social distancing. Now, how can you do that if geo-tracking is not accurate to within 6 feet? So this is technology used by the Defense Department, by law enforcement. It's used by the CDC. As you say, you know, you come out of an airport, you call an Uber, and your phone will tell you you're standing in front of gate 7, door 8, or door H. How does your phone know that? Well, the answer is there are apps inside your phone that pinpoint your location. Now, pinpoints your location to within a few feet, but that's all you need to show that there's a mule going to a Dropbox. And remember, geo-tracking also being a kind of moving dot can tell the difference between going by an object or past an object on the one hand and going to an object on the other.
In other words, stopping the dot, go
to the Dropbox, stop there, then turn around, return to the car, and then go to the next Dropbox.
Well, and you look at the timestamps, and yes, there's people milling around, but who mills around one Dropbox and then not very long later mills around another Dropbox and then another one? And in other words, who has a pattern of those locations like that, along with maybe some surveillance footage? But isn't by law, aren't they supposed to have cameras on that those Dropboxes anyway?
Yeah, the guidelines that come out from the government say that every Dropbox should have 24-hour surveillance. But many of the states just ignored this. I mean, the entire state of Wisconsin took no video. In Maricopa County, Arizona, they turned off the video for reasons unexplained. Even in Fulton County, Georgia, where we have a bunch of video, out of every, 10 Dropboxes, one has video. So it's very spotty video, and
Atlanta,
this is just a flagrant violation of the guidelines.
Yeah, I want to make this point. Atlanta is one of the most surveilled cities in America, too, to double down the point. What do you mean one out of 10 had a surveillance? It's the most surveilled city in the country, by the way.
And this is why the demand that Ben Shapiro and some others have made about the movie, they're basically saying, well, listen, you know, Dinesh hasn't proven his case because he's not showing us the same mule at multiple Dropboxes. It's the shortage of video that explains why we're not doing that. In fact, I do have the same mule at more than one Dropbox. The problem is the video quality is poor. You can't tell it's obviously the same guy, the same height, it's the same build. But if I'm going to put it in the movie and show it's the same guy, people are going to say, I want to see his face. I want to look close up and recognize his face as the same guy. Now, I know it's the same guy because it's the same phone.
Yeah, but see, that's not proof there. You can spoof phones. And see, they go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen. The bottom line is you've got an epic battle, and I want Dinesh to respond to this, and then a quick question from Eldon. An epic battle going on between those of us who believe there were election fraud and or vote fraud, the two are slightly different, and those who believe that no matter what, they'll never admit it. It's almost like it's polarized the nation to the point where either you're a yes-Trumper or a no-Trumper, even though it's not even about Trump. But they've taken that same kind of divide all the way to the core of America now. And if they keep lying and keep covering up this evidence and keep preventing Congress from dealing with it, preventing anybody from proving it because there's no video and we go on and on and on and on, they're going to create such a fundamental divide in America that it might end up in a civil war, Dinesh.
Well, you've raised an important point, which is we are not, it's one thing to say that we have a divide over values. It's another whole thing to say that we have a divide over facts, because it's as if you watch a video. We show this in the movie many times. A guy comes in 3 a.m, pulls up a car to a middle of the street. He jumps out. He looks to the left. He looks to the right, making sure no one sees him. He's got a backpack full of ballots. He's wearing latex gloves. He walks up to a drop box. He then starts stuffing the ballots in 1, 2, 3, 4. Then he takes out a camera and takes photos of the ballots going in. Now, the reason for that, by the way, is to make sure he gets paid. And the gloves are to make sure he doesn't leave fingerprints on the ballots. Then he looks around again to make sure he's not being observed, goes back to the car and drives off. Now, people leftists with a straight face will look at this and say, in Georgia, it is legal for people to drop off the ballots of their family members. First of all, who does that in the middle of the night? Second of all, who goes to 10 or more drop boxes? Third, why is it necessary to wear latex gloves? Fourth, why would you take a picture, not of yourself, not a selfie like I voted, but of the ballots going in? So it's almost as if you have a suspension of reason and common sense. A suspension, almost like they're asking you to disbelieve what your own two eyes are seeing.
It is insane, ladies and gentlemen. Eldon.
Yeah, Dinesh, wanted to thank you first for doing all of this. I think you're very heroic in putting this together. But the question I got is just simply, what can we do as average Americans? And of course, in addition to having people watch the movie, is there something you might recommend to ensure election integrity?
Number one, I think it's really important to make sure that everybody in the GOP sees the movie, the leadership, the elected officials. It's kind of odd I even have to say this, because if I were a Democrat, if I were Michael Moore and I made this film in 2016 about how Trumpsters stole the election, every Democrat would be raving and railing about it. Chuck Schumer would be foaming at the mouth. Nancy Pelosi would be going berserk on the House floor. I mean, they would have gone in and dragged Trump out of the Oval Office. But our side is so sluggish that, you know, they just kind of don't get around to it. They're very slow on the draw. So the more that we can get the message to our own elected leaders, hey, listen, watch this movie. I'm pretty convinced that even if, you know, establishment types and rhino types see the movie, they'll recognize something is wrong here. Quite apart from Trump, they might say, listen, you know, what's done is done for 2020. We need to fix it in the future. But I find it hard to believe that any Republican that has two eyes would look at the film and go, there's nothing, there's no problem here. We're doing just fine with the elections. No way.
All right, what's the next step now? The election commissioner, whatever you want to say, of Georgia is literally now attacking Greg Phillips at True the Vote and Catherine, saying, hey, we got to subpoena their information. We got to. Why turn on them if there's no pay dirt?
Well, the politics of Georgia are very weird because, of course, Trump came out and attacked Kemp. Kemp is allied with Raffensperger, the Secretary of State. So there's a lot of internal politics going on in Georgia. And True the Vote was seen as, because by exposing election fraud, you know, playing into the hands of Trump and Purdue. And so this has become a kind of a weird business going on there. So they're conducting supposedly an investigation, but it's not clear to me if they're trying to move the investigation forward or just deliberately stall it.
If they're attacking Greg, it tells me that they're trying to deliberately stall it. They could use Greg as a consultant or anybody else for that matter, somebody else that's in IT forensics, etc. They could double down and get the evidence on this very quickly with their subpoena power and everything else. I mean, they could do this in about 2 seconds if they really wanted to get it done. But in my mind, as far as I can tell, they're attacking the messenger, Dinesh.
Well, there's that. And also the other thing is they're going about the investigation in a really funny way. It is true that the investigation in Georgia originated with a whistleblower. But the whistleblower came forward and said, listen, I don't want to be any part of this. I'll tell you what's going on, but you guys have to verify it yourself. Which is why this True the Vote bought the geo-tracking data to verify what the whistleblower said. And the geo-tracking and the video evidence completely confirmed what he said. But the whistleblower said, I'm going underground. I don't want to talk to these people. I don't want to be approached by the authorities. And so what does Georgia want? They want True the Vote to reveal the name of the whistleblower. Now, True the Vote is happy to supply the cell phone IDs of all the mules. Georgia can easily go and interview the mules. Who paid you? Who put you up to this? Where'd you get the ballots, et cetera? But they refuse to do that. They basically were issuing subpoenas telling True the Vote, turn over the name of the whistleblower. So this is almost a deliberately obtuse way of going about an investigation.
What it really is, it's designed to stall it, to spread fear and chill, which they've been doing to all the mules already anyway. Dinesh, I know you got to fly. We appreciate your time today. Last thought. What do you want Americans to know? Yes, it's important to share and see the movie so you get a clue. You look at the Salem talk show hosts or whatever you want to say, Salem newsmakers who at the start are like, nah, there's nothing here, big old nothing burger. And when they get done watching the evidence, they go, this is frightening. So there you have it. They change on a dime. Watching the movie is vital. But anything else, what else do you think we can do that could make the biggest difference? We're working on sheriffs investigating across the country. But what else can individuals do? Then we'll let you fly.
Well, that's very important. I'd say another step is essentially to make sure that there's surveillance on the drop boxes. So if the counties and if the cities and the states do not follow the guidelines, I would say there's nothing wrong in creating a kind of citizens committee, and you basically, you know, make sure that there's eyes on the drop box. And that may mean nothing more than just turning on your cell phone and making sure that the drop boxes are that there's some recorded surveillance on the drop boxes. There's nothing illegal about doing that. Now, of course, the left will say, oh, it's voter suppression, blah, blah, blah. And then the point would be, listen, we don't have to do this. It'd be much better if the states did it themselves. I mean, there's surveillance in every Home Depot, every ATM, every parking lot. Why wouldn't we have surveillance on our own elections?
Dinesh, thank you so much, sir.
I really appreciate it.
There he goes, Dinesh D'Souza, ladies and gentlemen, doing a great job. And the thing that you got to understand is, look, there are people literally like this whacked out bar guy. I kid you not. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy, Barr, the guy's a nutcase. I don't know what he is thinking, though. He literally has watched 2,000 Mules, Eldon, and he's just like, yeah, I don't see anything here. And then he has the audacity to say, hey, you know what? If they really have video evidence that, or, you know, photo evidence, that would be shocking. Look, they got video evidence. That's better than a photo in the movie. You can see it. I don't even know if he watched it. He claims he did.
But I don't think he really saw it. But it's hard to think that he actually did see it. But maybe he did.
If he did, again, I think we need to have him watch it again because I don't think he got it. Now, the funny thing is, so he literally attacks Dinesh D'Souza, attacks Greg Phillips and Catherine Engelbrecht, etc. But Bill Barr, in my opinion, is kind of melting down. So now Dinesh D'Souza challenges Bill Barr to a debate over the 2,000 Mules. They say basically the level of ignorance displayed by former Attorney General, truly stunning. Art Moore writes this in WND.com, doing a phenomenal job. But literally now, Dinesh saying, okay, fine, if you want to criticize me, Bill Barr, why don't we have a public debate on the topic? So I've offered now to be the moderator. Eldon?
Oh, great. Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'll just moderate that dude right on down the line. Ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Finnegan with us as well today. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
What do you think? Should I moderate this thing between Dinesh D'Souza and Bill Barr?
Can you be impartial?
Yes, I can.
It would be very, yes, I can. Very difficult.
And I'll tell you how I would be impartial. I would basically set up the format like this. Each one of you can start out with your own statement. You get a minute each for your statement. When you're done with your statements, I'm going to ask both of you the same questions. And I'm going to alternate who gets to answer the questions first so that there's no game playing. And when we say a debate, then each person will get to respond once to any statement the other one makes. In other words, you'll take turns. And at the end, you'll get a closing statement of 2 minutes each. And then I will basically formulate the questions surrounding the arguments. In other words, Bill Barr says, hey, the geo data is unimpressive. All right. So, hey, I want you guys both to make a statement on the geo data now. You make whatever statement you want make. You make whatever statement you make. You guys both make your statement. Now, fine. Now, what's the beef here? What's the truth here? And then what we'll do is we will fact check it before we finalize. The interview can be live, but we'll fact check it and then provide a fact check report about the statements made on the other end. That's how I would conduct the interviews, because I think that's the most fair way to do it. What do you say to that, Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, that would be the way, especially having them repeat their story again, because liars have a really hard time doing that. If it's a lie, it's hard to do that.
And so the first question would be, did you watch the movie? Obviously, Dinesh did. But I want to know, did Dinesh sit down and watch his own movie? And the answer is, I'm sure that he did, whether it's piece by piece or in the entirety. But same thing with Bill Barr, though. Are you going on record that you saw it? If you went on record that you saw it, then the next question is this. You know, you say it would be very tough if there was photo evidence. Well, here's the deal. There is video evidence. So the question to both of you, is that legitimate real video or faked video? And if it's real video, isn't it even harder to explain than photos? Because that's not picking sides. That's a fact. Anybody who can tell you, if I have photos of an event versus video of an event, you're going to believe the video more, aren't you, Kelly?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, and today everybody packs their phone around. Like you said, they have to take pictures of it. So, you know, who was there and when they were there and what, you know.
The next point that I would bring up is, listen, whether you believe there's election fraud or not, investigations are what, in my opinion, is in order. And this is why I would say I'm not picking sides here. If the law says you're supposed to have video on a given Dropbox, 24/7 surveillance, if you will, and there is none, don't you think that needs to be remedied before we can say there's no vote fraud? We don't even have it monitored enough to know. Isn't the custody of ballots in question in that scenario? Or is it not in question? Yeah. Each of you answer. Yeah. Eldon, that's what I'm saying is that, look, these are, we're not debating opinions or sides or, you know, politics.
Right.
This is facts versus not. This is reality versus not. If the law says you got to have this monitored with a video and it's not, in my opinion, that's a problem. And we can't confirm the custody of the ballots that way. Right.
Right. Right. And of course, it would be better, in my opinion, at least if we didn't have these drop boxes anyway. But if we're going to have them, for sure, to at least surveil them.
Well, and the reason I'm sticking with these basic of assertions at this point is because, hey, that's very fair to ask those questions. It's not picking sides. It's just saying, look, if that's not monitored, is that a problem? And I want to see if Bill Barr would say that's an issue or not. Because if he says that's not an issue, then what, Kelly?
Well, you know, the other thing you could do with these boxes is you could make it that after, you know, whatever, 8 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, anything dropped into that box went to a separate location. And then at 6 in the morning, somebody can go in and look and go, oh, these were all the ones that were dropped off through the night. Let's take a look at these. Is there anything funny about all of these?
That's a fair question. And or find a way to where these boxes could be built differently to where the box gets locked at night. So, you know, they can make like a metal door, a block, a seal happen with a press of an electronic button. I mean, it's done for your tellers and you know, I mean, it could be done easily to where you could basically say, look, we're only accepting ballots at appropriate timeframes that are videoed. There's so many ways to solve this is the point, ladies and gentlemen. And the problem with the allegation of vote fraud, if you're not careful, is everybody feels like everybody's just going to go to prison. Well, you know what? In many cases, it might not be vote fraud on most people's part, but on a very small amount of individuals' part it is. Or it might be the custody of the ballots we're talking about. So we want voter integrity. See, there's a lot of terms for this. And whether it rises to the level of vote fraud in every case, I don't know. But if a box is unmonitored, that doesn't mean there's vote fraud. But it does mean that you've got to question the custody of the ballots. If that's not monitored, you don't know. How do you know I didn't get a backdoor key and I open up the back of the thing and put a bunch of ballots in the back? If it's not monitored, you don't know. That is the quintessential point, and that's why.
Well,
I believe
how do you know? How do you know what a retirement home that somebody doesn't go around to all the patients who might not even be cognizant, you know, the Joe Biden of the world?
You, and take the answer their is the answer is we know they do and they are, and a sheriff has caught them at it, documented it, turned it over to his DA. And you know what the DA did? Laughed at him and goes, that was a nice political stunt, Sheriff. So this is the point Dinesh made that I want to come back to with both of you. When we debate politics or opinions, that's one thing. Where now we can't even agree on things that should be fact. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As much of the country deals with the heat, parts of Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio will see temperatures up to 110 degrees on Thursday. The heat is projected to shift back westward and send temperatures soaring into the triple digits again from the plains to the Midwest to central states over the weekend and into next week. With inflation burning holes in America's wallet, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell on Wednesday raised the rate at which banks get their money 0.75 percentage point.
The economy and the country have been through a lot over the past 2.5 years and have proved resilient. It is essential that we bring inflation down if we are to have a sustained period of strong labor market conditions that benefit all.
The French president, German chancellor, and Italian prime minister arrived in Kyiv, Ukraine Thursday in a show of solidarity against Russia's invasion. USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
The importance of being first in 2024 is gaining momentum.
Michigan Democrats are ramping up their campaign to hold one of the first presidential primaries in 2024 and beyond. In a letter obtained by Politico, the Michigan Democratic Congressional Delegation is making the case to DNC members that the state's diversity, competitiveness, and ability to represent make it a worthy early presidential state. It's the latest step in a wave of internal politicking unleashed by the party's decision earlier this year to remake the Democratic nominating calendar. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
The White House on Wednesday urged Americans not to travel to Ukraine after reports emerged that 2 Americans had been captured by a Russian military. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby said, if the reports are true, the United States will do everything it can to get them back. We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Buxman on your radio. Eldon Stahl with us. Dinesh D'Souza was with us and just took off. Now we have our buddy Kelly Finnegan online as well. Brian Rust. RustCoinAndGift.com is not with us, but Kelly is there to represent. That's good news. And we're talking about this issue in America where Dinesh D'Souza brought up this point after I brought up the vote fraud issue. You know, hey, this is polarizing the nation like you would not believe. I've never seen such polarization. It's worse than are you a crazy pro-Trumper or an anti-pro-Trumper or whatever. It's so divisive. Now it's even worse with the election stuff. And the problem is, it isn't a debate about opinion or idea or thought, or we just disagree. We can be kind and agree to disagree. We are not even able to agree on facts. I say the sun just came up. Eldon says, no, it didn't. What are you talking about? And then Kelly says, golly, the moon's sure nice. What? Huh? Kelly, what do you say about that? Isn't it crazy? Kelly, it's that crazy.
No, that sounds like my mom and dad. But but it is now. I mean, yeah. I mean, what what was right is wrong, and what was wrong is right. And boys are girls, and girls are boys. And pretty soon, dogs will be cats, and cats will be dogs.
Well, my dog sure acts like a cat. No, I don't have a dog. I'm just kidding. All right. It's insane, Eldon, and I don't even really know how to respond to it, because what kind of a nation will we have if first we cannot even agree on facts? Pretty soon we won't even be able to communicate. Eldon, I think that's the biggest problem in America today. It really is.
Yeah, part of it is, in a way, just getting people to deny truth, objective truth, the idea of objective truth, and to embrace relativism. And, you know, when you have that, well, for one thing, people abandon the idea that God is the source of truth, that there's some transcendent truth out there. But when that happens, of course, then somebody's got to be the arbiter of what is true and what is not. And it ends up being who has the most guns, which ends up being government. That's not a good place you want to go.
Amen to that. Kelly, there's so much going on, even in the crypto money discussions. Headline for the New York Times Business Financial Desk says this. Leader fuels culture war in crypto. Jesse Powell, who's this guy who leads this crypto exchange, one of the biggest crypto exchanges in the world, says that American women are brainwashed. Now, listen. He says to his employees, if you can identify as a different sex, can you identify as a different race or a different ethnicity? Question mark. They say he also questioned their use of preferred pronouns. And then he led a discussion about who can refer to another person as the N-word. The guy's a 41-year-old Bitcoin pioneer, this Jesse Powell guy. And he ignited a culture war amongst his more than 3,000 employees. And internal documents, videos, chat blogs, and everything else. Some workers have openly challenged the CEO for his, quote, hurtful comments. Others have talked about fostering a hateful workplace and damaging people's mental health. Dozens are considering quitting. Many are feared of retaliation. And the culture wars have abounded during the Corona deal. But this now takes the cake. They say even though the crypto folks are generally for free speech, this guy has taken things to a whole new level. It comes during a deepening crypto downturn. Very interesting, Kelly.
Well, they're all for free speech as long as your speech aligns with what they believe. That's what I found. And anybody who, but they're open-minded, but they really aren't open to letting other people be open-minded. And yeah, the crypto, I mean, it was a month and a half, it was a $3 trillion industry. Now it's below a trillion. So they're bleeding. And then I'm sure a lot of those employees are going to be laid off anyway. You know, I mean, Bitcoin hit in the 20,000. You know, $69,000 in November. And now a new one, Celsius, who was a bank that doesn't want to be a bank, they're bleeding money. They closed down so people can't take their cash out. You know, there's so many of these pump and dumps. But, yeah, it's a different, completely different culture, you know, and I'm surprised that they haven't all canceled each other.
Now, this is interesting. Coinbase is laying off 18%. Of its employees following job cuts at Gemini and crypto.com, two other crypto companies. What do you say to that?
Like I said, they're bleeding money, and they base all of their value on the US fiat currency, you know, and then they all use each other's cryptocurrency is their backing for their currency. So, yeah, it's just tiddlywinks. You know, who's going to be in business next week? I think that there's 19,000 cryptos.
Now, they say there's a huge crypto downturn. I thought crypto was the savior, Eldon.
Well, I guess we're finding out. You know, I find out over time what's going to happen with it, but it seemed like people were really excited about it, and some still are. I've never been really sold on it as if it's this great thing to jump on board with. But, you know, people seem to. I guess I find that, you know, it's almost easier to sell to the average person something that's very speculative than something that, you know, has actually a decent track record and anything like that. So people say, okay, I want to go buy lottery tickets or something like that, but they won't, you know, do the work to actually earn money for themselves. That's often seems like the case.
Kelly, my headline says, beware, warning of deepening crypto downturn. Any thoughts?
Yeah, it's a crypto winter, as they call it. And they've never been through a recession before, you know. So, I mean, Bitcoin's the oldest, and came around in 2011. So what is that, you know, 11 years old, maybe, I think, in August. So this is the new digital gold. This is what's the future. And it's like, as long as the power's on, and with the price of energy, who knows how long that's going to be.
Now, here's what I find fascinating about this culture war this guy's kicked off in the crypto industry. It's starting with crypto because there's a lot of libertarians there that believe in free speech and everything else, and they're running afoul of this, I don't know what you want to call it, woke mentality, if you will. This is epic, though, because the question becomes, will the courts and government get involved and decide whether that's discrimination because you disagree or whatever? Or will he not be allowed to say what he says to his employees, or can he think that? Culture war and crypto is fueled by this kind of thing. What do you say? Do you think that it reminds me of the what's that? It's a new Disney movie where there's the house cracks and stuff like that. The nation seems to be cracking at the very seams. Eldon?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Does. I mean, Encanto, very good movie, though.
Encanto, that's right.
Yes. It seems like, we're starting to see this, things just kind of fall apart because of all these different policies we've had that have been just disastrous.
What do you say to that, Kelly? I think we're starting to have cracks that I don't know. I mean, I mentioned this divide, but it's getting just crazy worse.
I haven't seen Encanto because I don't watch Disney now, but, yeah, it's getting worse. You know, some people say it's growing pains, and yeah, or maybe we're just getting a little old. I mean, we're an empire. Empires generally only last, you know, 200 to 300 years, and so we're kind of pushing that. You know, and it might be there are some changes are going to come. You know, no guarantees the United States was going to be around forever, but these are interesting times. And that's how you have to look at it, is, wow, we get to live through this, you know, things that we've read about and heard about.
All right. I don't know where we go with this, but I see this divide being so, I don't know what you want to say, fundamental, so core. I think the only way we can possibly deal with it is to at least start out with civility. But when flat out facts or offensive statements are made to an extreme, can people abide that? Can people handle that? Quick pause in seconds with Kelly Finnegan and Eldon Stahl on your radio.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Jesse Powell fuels culture war in crypto, ladies and gentlemen. I guess the crypto exchange he leads is called Kraken. And he literally has challenged the use of preferred pronouns, debated who can use racial slurs, and literally called women brainwashed. American women are brainwashed. Now, I kind of find this whole thing comical. It's almost laughable. And let me tell you what I mean, and then we'll have these gentlemen, Kelly Finnegan and Eldon Stahl, respond. It's almost like this is not real. It reminds me of All-Star Wrestling a little bit. I'm just going to be so outrageous that I overwhelm your senses, and then I'm just going to attack you to the point of, I mean, you'd just be dead 50 times over. But yet, you know what? You come up smiling, ready to swing back, and you've got a new plan to take me down and destroy me. And you almost want to name these people wrestling character names. First to you, Kelly. I mean, it's that extreme.
It is. And you try to put a mirror up so they can see how ridiculous they are. I mean, at the doctor's office, actually, they had a preferred pronoun was one of the questions. I'm like, fine, I'm your highness. So I only have one doctor actually refers to me as that, and that's my preferred pronoun. And
that is fantastic.
So I play the game. Let's play the game. You know,
just call me your highness.
I don't do a Roman salute yet, but I might have him do a Roman salute. People call
there you go. You got to do actions now. You got to do gestures to support my pronouns
too.
Yeah,
exactly. If Prince can use a symbol, then hey, I can have some weird thing.
Eldon, I always said if I had my pronouns, and I know this isn't great language, but I'm going to say it anyway. I want my pronouns to be bad A, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just call me bad A. And then you can call me father, Christian, husband, all the other words too. And you need to use all of them every time you refer to me. Okay, because you can't just use partial, because you can't partially represent me. You got to completely represent me. So it would start out with bad A, comma, father, comma, husband, comma, businessman, comma, traditional family, believing American, comma, and I would just continue to go on, Eldon.
Yeah, you're like the monarchs of old, the defender of the faith, and
now you're
Earl
talking.
Of this, and I don't know, what else? Yeah.
Oracle of Liberty, absolutely. We'll just keep going on.
If they mess up the order, make them start over again.
That would be correct. Otherwise, you'd be perverting my pronoun. You know, this is how far we've gone. Now, the reason that I say this is kind of like, you know, All-Star Wrestling or whatever, this guy comes out of the gate, literally attacks American women. He talks about racial stuff. He talks about pronouns. He talks about sex. He talks about race and ethnicity and all this stuff. It almost makes me believe that it can't really be real to that degree. I just don't know how. And the liberal rag, the New York Times, is the one peddling this stuff. And I look at it and say, you know what, even if this guy is saying this, and even if he is that extreme, why highlight the extreme outlier? Just because he's rich and the leader of a cryptocurrency? It's strange that money's at the center of this whole divide as well. Now we're having the divide on the economy. who done it? Biden? Trump? Vladimir Putin? Who done it? Right? Kind of a thing. It's interesting they put money right at the center of this, Kelly.
Well, and that's why Disney has to take things out of movies for their international market. You know, even though they tell you one thing, they do something else because it's all about the money. And as long as people are willing to take it, you know, and then it's willing to, you know, they can go along with it. That's why the president of Netflix realized he lost a lot of money when he went woke. So had to tell his employees, hey, shut up and listen. So, yeah, it's and then you were saying women. Well, I just watched the documentary, What is a Woman? Yeah, what is a woman? And it's so funny that people can't even answer that question.
What do you say to that, Ellen?
I watched it too, actually. Very good. I would recommend it. What is a Woman with Matt Walsh?
The startling responses from these people are shocking in that video, by the way. It's like, are you kidding me?
All of them seem to be adverse, afraid, very concerned about something called truth. They just didn't want, they thought that was some sort of terrible thing to try to think that there is actual truth. They've all embraced relativism moral relativism relativism in the sense that there's no truth at all.
All right, Kelly, before we end here today, where are we at on the Honest Money Report? Where's gold sitting, sir?
Well, gold's been right hanging around about 1830 right now. So it's down a bit, but it's because everybody had to dump their precious metals to pay their Bitcoin reserves. So silver is about 2170, platinum 953-ish, palladium 1942, rhodium 13,900. So it's down.
Ooh, rhodium's way down, isn't it?
Yeah, way down.
Well, it used to be up to like 220 or whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just a temporary thing for some of these, you know. Well, when you take and you increase the interest by 0.75%, that's going to keep businesses from doing anything. So I guess they're figuring they're not going to sell a lot of cars.
Well, and that's what we want to talk about before the end of the hour as well. The Fed literally increased interest rates 0.75%. Normally they do 0.25%. If they get real crazy, they do 0.5%. Now they're getting real crazy. 0.75% is massive. Do you think that they'll literally force us into a recession?
Oh, I think we're already in one. They just don't want to admit it. But they're even talking 0.75% in July. So, and there's like an 89% probability of 0.75% increase in July. So they know they're behind the eight ball. They acted way, way, way too late on this and spent too much money. And Biden's going around telling all the unions, you know, we just need to spend more money. We just need to spend more money. And these greedy oil companies need to just lower their prices. But they can't drill more.
How do you do that?
Because get rid of the greed.
What? The only greed is in taxes, where the taxes are so high. They're talking about is maybe we'll reduce a little bit of tariffs here or there, but there's no real effort to stop the greed. Why don't we decrease half the tax? Why don't we chop income taxes in America in half?
Yeah, easily could do that. Yep, just don't spend.
All right. Headline says, Fed announces biggest rate hike since 1994. Do you want to respond to that, Eldon?
Well, why do we have an organization that's not even part of the government, for one thing, deciding what price we should have for money?
What do you say, Kelly?
Well, it was originally set up to be independent, but it really isn't. It's at the whim of, all the people are appointed by the government. So it's just a pseudo thing to make it look, you know, the only depressions we've had have been under the Federal Reserve. So it was all smoke and mirrors. And when you look into the history of it and how Wilson got elected, he was the one that did it. And it was at Christmas recess in 1913. I mean, it's just, It was a way for the banks to have control. And that's the biggest debtor we have. That's who we owe more money to than anybody. It's a private company called Federal Reserve. It's not a foreign country.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where we go with this divide and these money woes. Americans are getting fleeced with this inflation. And we can debate who done it all day and point fingers. But the fact is, every day this goes on, the American people and any reserves they may have had becomes depleted, Kelly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have so many friends and acquaintances that are asking me about gold. Hey, you know, what about gold? How's gold doing? I just noticed my 401k just got hit really bad, you know. Yeah. Yep. I got out of it a couple of years ago.
Eldon, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, it makes it very difficult because when you have, well, basically there's been all this money injected into our economy, and that makes every dollar worth less. So if you have anything that's denominated in dollars, then it, your purchasing power of that is less. So it's, you know, so many countries have done this every single time. That's how it works. You might get a bigger paycheck, but you can't buy as much.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got to bring sad news to you before the end of the hour. I'm so sorry. Anthony Fauci has COVID. And after fighting it for 2 years, the poor guy got the coco. And you got to understand, he's 81 years old. He was double vaxxed and everything under the sun, but it didn't stop him from getting the COVID, Kelly.
Yeah, terrible. I mean, my wife has a friend that's gotten up for the third time, and she's been shot up so many times. Now they're talking about that the kids can get it now, and the Pfizer's is 20. It can be as high as 28% effective, and Moderna's can be as high as 52% effective. But you know, you should get your little kids shot up so they can have some potential side effects. All this COVID vaccine stuff goes against the Nuremberg rules for prisoners with being tested.
Do you want to respond? Do you want to respond to this, Eldon? Poor Anthony Fauci now has COVID, even though he's been double vaxxed, boosted, everything under the sun. He told us over and over that the vaccines would make the difference. Now he has COVID. And the only thing they can say when we bring this up is that, you know, highlighting this insane hypocrisy, or whatever you want to call it, this, is they're like, well, he's 81, his symptoms are mild, he should be good. My problem is, didn't they tell us we wouldn't get it if we got the coco shot? Mm-hmm. Clot shot, but what
that was at first. That was at first the thing, and then they said, "Well, it reduces symptoms and all that." Well, maybe he's. Would you recommend ivermectin to him, or you know, just maybe change his mind on that, or should he stick with the remdesivir if it gets to that point, or what?
Well, you know what? At 81, he's still sharper than Biden.
Heard
yeah,
that.
Right.
Evil, yeah. Evil sharp, but sharper nevertheless, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time this hour. Kelly, if you could tell Americans anything, what would you say to them?
Just hang on and look at all sides. So you can really compare. You know, that's what I would say. You have to look at, you know, my father-in-law. He was a fighter pilot in Vietnam, and I was amazed that the library had a books on communism. And I asked his daughter about it, and she says, you've got to know your enemy.
Amen to that reality check, right. Ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. Kelly Finnegan, thank you so much, sir. Godspeed.
Ditto.
Eldon Stahl is going to be with me next hour, ladies and gentlemen, and we got a bunch to discuss. This has been a rock and roll hour. Hour two will be no less. Riveting. Hang tight. Sam Bushman, Eldon Stahl, John Birch Society, JBS.org, TheNewAmerican.com. Spread the word. Share the love. I'm Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, syndicated by LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Share the love there as well. We got so much going on. It's incredible. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.